FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today we are at the Metals Investor Forum in beautiful Vancouver, although it's rainy, a little bit chilly and not so nice, but
things are really happening here. A lot of really good companies, a lot of old friends meeting up with again, and our sponsor here is with us, and Max Porterfield, CEO and president, as well as director of Calinex Mines Inc. is with us. Max, good to see you again.
It's great seeing you, and thanks for having me on your show.
As always, so looking over your latest reports here, things have really turned around very recently in a major way for Calinex, haven't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that if you look at our share price appreciation, oftentimes the market's inefficient. So we had a big discovery hole. You know, last time we spoke, last October, market got very excited about that. We were able to recapitalize the company at that time, and the market sold off with a couple of missed drill holes. And then more recently, this past Monday, we were able to announce another intersection, a very wide step out from that discovery hole. So things are definitely looking up for us, especially moving into upcoming drilling campaigns that we have at our projects in Eastern Canada.
Right. And the metals markets also cooperating with you. It looks like zinc. I recently read that there's a 29-day above-ground supply of zinc around the world, and this could be problematical, couldn't it?
No, absolutely. That's one of the reasons why last April or so we added our products to our portfolio that were zinc-dominant deposits, because we thought that, you know, zinc had a lot of room to rally. Since then, zinc's almost doubled in price, sitting around $1.16 a pound U.S. So we're very, very optimistic moving forward for the zinc supply demand fundamentals. We've had a lot of above ground zinc supply come offline over the past few years. You've got steady growth, and you really haven't had any new supply come online, which has led to that dwindling of the above ground inventories in the LME, like you just mentioned. So I think there's definitely room to move higher as zinc kind of consolidates at the start of this year.
Yeah, and I was listening to Mr. Kaiser give his presentation. He's of the opinion that zinc could go up to $2 a pound.
Yeah, I would agree that that's possible as well. I think last time zinc had a move to $2.20 U.S. was at a time again when LME inventories came down and you didn't have supply come online. So that's definitely not out of the question. It could happen. But I think more, you know, realistically, on a conservative basis, you are going to have a nice zinc market over the next 3 or 4 years as this kind of supply-demand imbalance flushes itself out in the market.
Right, and there's not a lot of pure-play zinc mines in the world either. Mostly it's a byproduct looking for copper and other base metals.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you have a commodity where its primary supply source is a byproduct to other mine, that particular commodity isn't going to respond so quickly to supply shocks, just because if you have a zinc mine and byproducts, a silver mine and byproduct zinc, you're not going to produce more silver just because you've got an incremental, you know, shift in pricing on the zinc side of the equation.
Yeah, byproduct mining is kind of like just gravy. You know, it's just basically a bonus that you get for doing nothing.
Yeah, absolutely, you're correct.
Yeah, we've got a lot of projects going on right now.
Yeah, we've got really focused on two camps, and the real focus for the company was to do exploration for high-grade polymetallic deposits that are rich in zinc, copper, gold, and silver. And again, we're in two very well-known jurisdictions in the Flin Flon camp of northern Manitoba, as well as the Bathurst camp of New Brunswick. And we exploring two projects in each of those camps and moving forward very aggressively.
And infrastructure at those two camps is really high grade, isn't it?
Yeah, the infrastructure is absolutely key. That reduces our upfront capital costs and really allows us to fast pace a discovery should one kind of grow rather quickly in a production. So again, infrastructure is absolutely key because if it's there, you don't have to build it all over again.
Obviously, it makes projects that wouldn't otherwise be viable very feasible. Interesting factoid here is that Callinex has been around since 1927. That's 90 years. You're heading up a 90-year-old company. Did you ever think that was going to happen?
You don't think a lot of things that happen in your life are going to happen. But no, it's got a long history. In fact, the Flin Flon Greenstone Belt, where we've got 100 square kilometers of ground that has very limited exploration over the past 25 years, has had 90 years of continuous production across 32 mines. So again, that goes back to that rich history. And again, really happy to renew the focus of the company since I've been on as president and CEO of the company back to those in the roots, exploring for these polymetallic high-grade deposits.
Yeah, it's just amazing to be in the junior space here and see all these junior miners that have been around 6 months, a couple of years, and then we find a company like yours that's been around for almost a century.
Yeah, and I think that just is a testament to the camps and the focus that we have as an organization. When I took over as CEO of the company, I've been really focused on graphite. But when you look under the hood and looked at the project portfolio and how strategic it was outside of Hudbay's operations in Flin Flon, it really was a no-brainer to go back there. And since then, we've established a technical team that's associated with the discovery of three of the four largest mines in that camp's history, as well as numerous others outside the camp.
Pretty interesting thing. And speaking of zinc, there are no substitutes for zinc. You've got to have it for battery production, for galvanized steel. What else are they going to use?
There is no substitute for zinc for the galvanization process for steel. I think that if you look at the U.S., a huge portion of the zinc imports come from Canada. A majority, actually, of the consumption of zinc in the United States does come from Canada, which is a great thing and is a great benefit to the projects that we have that we're actively exploring and moving forward. And if you look at this, kind of a static, slight growth in zinc demand globally, I think one of the big catalysts that you can see coming out of the United States would be the rebuild-out of the infrastructure within the country. Because really, if you look back, the last kind of build-out of infrastructure in the United States happened in the 1950s. Whereas you look at the emerging economies, and China in particular, that's really happened over the past 20 years. So I think the United States is, in a sense, can benefit dramatically from the proposed infrastructure build-out in the United States by the Trump administration. And that would obviously have adverse impact in a positive sense on what we're doing as an organization.
Sure. It's going to cut down the above-ground supply or put demands upon it, and therefore probably raise the price. And one thing many of you aren't aware of is there really is an infrastructure build-out taking place in the United States right now. There are new bridges being built. There are new subway lines being constructed in Manhattan. It's taking place a lot in the Northeast, kind of under the radar. So I believe Trump will get that package through because no congressman or senator ever got tossed because they voted for a project that benefited their home district.
No, and from a political standpoint, I think what it also does, which is why I think everyone's for it, is that first of all, you can actually see where your tax dollars are going, and secondly, it's been shown through numerous studies that when you have government policy put in place to create it and build that infrastructure, it's got a job creation in the last 20 years.
Absolutely, and then just as an example, the interstate highway system, we've been reaping the rewards of that capital investment for almost three quarters of a century now, 65 years since it was started. Really interesting multiplier effects happen with infrastructure. And so what about your team? Looks like you've got a lot of veteran, experienced people working with you.
Yeah, no, we've got a great team. A team we've established over the past few years. And the company's chairman, Mike Mazalski, is a member of the Canadian Mining Hall of Fame for the discovery and development of 13 mines. 12 of those are going to be in the Flin Flon Greenstone Belt of northern Manitoba, where we're currently exploring. And then our technical team also, as Chief Geologist Jim Pickell, has won the Bill Dennis Award, or really like the award given to one of the largest discoveries in Canada for the 777 discovery that actually just has a 2.5 year mine life. And I think that's a real pressure point for that infrastructure, is that need for new ore. And then, you know, from a geophysical standpoint, which is part of our exploration process, our Chief Geophysicist Alan Valls won that same award for the Lawler Lake discovery that went in production in 2014. So again, that technical team has been associated with the discovery of 3 of the 4 largest mines in the Flin Flon Camp's history, which we're really excited to get them all back together to discover the next one.
Yeah, it's like old times, and obviously they have an intimate familiarity, knowledge of this area that it would be impossible to find without these veterans.
No, yeah, once you've done it once, it's much more easier to do it again, no matter what you do in life, I think. And have that knowledge and the deep understanding of these VMS systems from this deposit style really lends itself to give us an upper hand advantage as we conduct exploration and move these things forward.
And then we've got a whole bunch of other projects pretty much in the bag. Once you start generating capital, you'll be able to invest in them as well.
Yeah, we've got a deep portfolio of projects. You can only give love and care and attention to so many of those. And that's why we're really focused to closest proximity to infrastructure as well as geological pedigree. So again, we're going to have upcoming campaigns that are Superjack Project and Nash Peak Project in Bathurst Camp. And then we return to Pine Bay, where we just wrapped up a campaign and conduct exploration, continuing exploration at Pine Bay, as well as the Big Island Project that we recently acquired in March of this year.
So Max, what's been dominating your time, your energy, so this company for the past 6 months to a year?
Well, just managing around the big discovery that we had at Pine Bay, making sure that we built awareness around that. I was able to close the financing. We were very happy with doing that financing to bring in such a great shareholder in terms of Rick Rule and Sprott. And so that, obviously takes a lot of time. And then, conducting exploration, the follow-up from that, and everything that goes along with, setting up a drill campaign to move these things forward. And again, the impending campaigns that are about to occur in the next couple of weeks. So we haven't given ourselves a lot of time or a break, so to speak. But this is a very exciting time. There's a lot of catalysts ahead for the company over the next 8 months.
Sounds exciting. What do you do when you're not totally obsessed and preoccupied with Calinex?
That's not too often, but I definitely like traveling and meeting different people. It definitely gives you a different perspective on life and the organization that you're growing as well. It's really seeing what's on the ground in different parts of the world when you're meeting with these different investors and opportunities.
Yeah. And moving ahead, for obviously this is a forward-looking statement, et cetera, but for the next year, the focus of the company, your personal focus on these projects we've just talked about?
Yeah, it's really focused on growing the known resources that have been established with the 2 projects in Eastern Canada at the Bathurst Camp at Superjack. There's an opportunity to grow that resource there. That's wide open down plunge on this largest deposit at that site. And Nash Creek, again, growing the resource there and getting it ready to put out a PEA by the year end. And then returning to Pine Bay to see what the real extent is of that discovery that we've made last year and delineate that the potential that lies there. So, again, definitely not a dull moment this year.
A lot of exciting times ahead here. I mean, you navigated the shoals of the resource sector's recession for the past however many years, and now finally it looks like there's blue sky ahead.
No, absolutely. We've always been ambitious to grow down at the bottom of the cycle. I think the down cycle really allowed us to pick up some quality assets at great valuations, and now it's time to really fast-pace those and move them forward very aggressively.
So it's pretty exciting. Hey, what's the company's website?
It's calinex.ca. That's CALLINEX.ca.
All right. And then you're trading on the TSX Venture, CNX, and on the OTC QX, CLLXF. And people want to find out about you. What's the best place? The website?
Yeah, you can visit our website, and our contact information is there. Give us a call. We're always happy to talk to any investors or current shareholders.
That's one thing I'd like about resource companies. You can just pick up the phone, talk to the head of IR, or even talk to the CEO. There's not many sectors of the market where you can do that.
No, no, there's not. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're working for, you know, on behalf of our shareholder base, because they're the ones that provided the capital to grow the company, and it's about returning return on capital for them. So, you know, I think part of our job to be in communication with our shareholder base.
Absolutely, and that's a refreshing attitude. Hey, Max, thanks so much for talking with us. Wish you the best of luck.
Thanks so much.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.